Happy July 4th. This is Jordan Seculo. More from the debate between my dad and Michael Weinstein at the U.S. Air Force Academy about religion in the military.
Live from Washington, D.C.
This is my right.
Jay Seculo Live.
Right given by God.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now.
Live a free life.
Call 1-800-684-3110.
Live in freedom.
That's 1-800-684-3110.
Talking about freedom.
And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
I will fight.
Hey, welcome to Jay Seculo Live. This is Jordan Seculo. Happy 4th of July. We've put together today on the program a special package for you. It's the debate between my dad and Michael Weinstein at the U.S. Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs, Colorado. This is an important debate. We've put together part one and two for you earlier in the week. So I encourage you, if you haven't been able to check out and listen to the debate yet, or if you're interested in it, let's begin.
Take a question from this microphone, please.
Sir, C2C Sala, CS24. This is for you, Mr. Weinstein. You were talking about the duty day and the duty night and how we need to separate that with our personal lives. And here at the Academy, since we live here and we're never really separated from our environment, our work environment, I think that makes it a little gray. So like if we're in the dorm rooms talking and someone just, you know, brings up their Christian faith or their Jewish faith or their Muslim faith and says, you know, hey, what do you think about that? You know, I think you should come to church. Or I can invite them to church with them. How do you feel about that?
I didn't understand the entire question. I think I got the gist of it. Look, I went here. You know, I was one of you. I know what it feels like to live cheek by jowl 24/7. Believe me, I understand that. If I was going to be asked to try to come up with a set of guidelines or regulations for each of the classes, and Jay, I can tell you that life here is very vertically incrustated. There's a big difference between fourth classmen, third classmen, second classmen, and first classmen. I'm sure there are ways to do it. There are so many ways to even, you know, spread what I refer to as the weaponized gospel of Jesus Christ, and I can't think of them all. But what my perspective is that when it involves a subordinate, superior relationship, we have to be extremely careful. And today, this is the first time, like I said, that the two armies have even remotely met. We are so separate that if we could increase the level of communication 1,000-fold, we could then say that we are two ships passing in the night, because right now, we are two starships in different space-time continuums on different parts of the universe. So to answer your question, I don't know exactly where it is, but I can tell you that when you have instructors on the faculty starting out their first day of class M1 by saying, my name is Captain Jones, I'm married, I've got to a wonderful young lady, I've got three kids, and if you're not a born-again Christian now, I hope you will be by the end of the semester, that's wrong. We got legions of those. When before you're being allowed to take a final exam, and your professor asks you to please pray, hold hands and pray for the class, that's wrong. When you have squadron commanders or flight commanders saying that you don't have to become a born-again Christian like me and be slain in the Spirit, washed in the blood of the Lamb, and have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, but if you don't, our workplace won't be blessed, that's wrong. Next question.
And my answer to that is, if you really had a situation, and again, you know the facts of the school much better than I do. But if you had a situation where a professor said at the beginning of the instruction period, hey, look, if my name is so-and-so, and I'm married, and I've got three kids, and I'm a Christian, and if you're not a Christian, you better become one by the end of the year, because it's going to ruin our unit. Well, that's a lawsuit, okay? That is a lawsuit. But let me tell you what's not a lawsuit, in my view. That there's a group of cadets, including older students, that have a voluntary prayer and Bible study that's meeting. And a faculty member attends it. To me, that's all the difference in the world. Because these cases are line drawing. I mean, for good or for ill, and trust me, I've been on both ends of it, for good or for ill, it's line drawing. It's not always easy. I agree with Mike. It's not always easy to figure out where those lines are. But there's some general principles that I think would apply even within the context of an academy.
This is the challenge of the day, and that is to protect our military chaplains. 877-989-2255. That's a letter. That's basically you signing on to a letter of petition going to the President of the United States saying issue an executive order. He has the authority to do it. If you signed on and called previously back in the last summer in 2006 to support our military chaplains, we appreciate it. But we need to hear from you again, because now it's going to take this executive order. It's that important. So here's the number, 877-989-2255. Or ACLJ.org to protect our military chaplains.
Now more than ever, our men and women who serve in the military deserve our gratitude, our respect, and our prayers. And those who serve in the military should be able to turn to their chaplains for prayer. But there's a problem. The freedom of military chaplains to pray according to their faith is now threatened. It's a troubling development, one that must be met head-on. That's why the American Center for Law and Justice is backing an effort spearheaded by North Carolina Congressman Walter Jones to urge President Bush to direct Defense Secretary Gates to issue new regulations to protect the constitutional right of military chaplains to pray according to their faith. That means ensuring chaplains can pray in the name of Jesus. Stand with the ACLJ and sign on today to the Petition to Protect Military Prayer. Send an important message to President Bush. Sign the petition now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. The Petition to Protect Military Prayer. You can also add your name online at aclj.org.
Regent Law School is training Christian lawyers to change the world.
Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel of the American Center for Law and Justice. He knows the value of an education at Regent University, and he knows Regent School of Law is much more than just an educational institution.
Regent is unique in that it offers the highest quality of legal education from a Christian perspective, and we never sacrifice intellectual integrity.
If you're considering a career in the law, it's time for you to consider Regent Law School. Regent Law School is distinctive because it integrates the study of law with biblical principles. Regent believes that law is more than just a profession. It's a calling. The time to apply right now. If you would like more information about the School of Law at Regent University or would like to enroll, call this toll-free number, 1-877-267-5072. That's 1-877-267-5072. There's more information online at regent.edu/law. Regent Law School, training Christian lawyers to change the world.
This is my right, a right given by God, to live a free life, to live in freedom.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. You've been listening to an important debate between my dad and Michael Weinstein at the U.S. Air Force Academy. We've broken it up into segments for you, and it's an important debate. This is about the role of religion in our military schools. This was done at the U.S. Air Force Academy.
Question over here, please.
Yes, sir. My name is Kinsley Jordan from CS-16, Cadet Squadron 16. My question is from Mr. Weinstein. Sir, in the pamphlet we received when we walked in the door, it listed a little bit about the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, and it appears that in the pamphlet its main purpose is for the restoration of the constitutionally mandated separation of church and state in the military. And my question to you is, from my understanding and what I've read, the phrase separation of church and state was actually coined by Thomas Jefferson in an unofficial letter to a certain church denomination, and during that time he was never actually in office. So my question to you is, could you please state any United States founding document or law where the phrase separation of church and state is ever stated?
Thank you for that question. This is what I get a lot from the religious right, that the separation of church and state, like I said, is like Paul Bunyan and Superman. It's just a myth or it's a fiction. Young man, let me tell you, it's beyond the scope of going up here, but we have decades upon decades of case law, and I can tell you that even if you don't get to the concept of separation of church and state, and I'm not prepared for the next 10 years to get away from it, you're not going to get away from Clause 3, Article 6 regarding a religion test, and that's exactly that was there for that specific purpose. Mm-hmm. We have legions of case law that talk about this. Jay and I could spend the next week debating it, but here's something that's really good for you. I first explored the First Amendment, and it's a good question. It's a damn good question. When I was a cadet, I got acquainted to the Constitution when I was a cadet because we got to learn about the Constitution, and we spent in that iconic class, Law for Commanders. Anybody take that one yet? Anybody get an A? Not my kid. Maybe he did. I don't know. Did you get an A, Curtis? Sorry. He didn't get an A in that. Okay. We spent a lot of time studying the First Amendment. So I asked somebody here at the Academy, you spend a lot of time with Spire on Monday nights. Does anyone here teach the First Amendment anymore? And they said, of course. I said, prove it. So you're talking about proof. Let me give you some other proof right back, young man. Block 4, Lesson 12, Law for Commanders. Instruction in the First Amendment, parens, now optional. That's a disgrace for my beloved school. I love this place. This was a transcendent place for me. You should be having these discussions. It shouldn't be optional. Unbelievable. Next question.
Well, let me say something about the Constitution. There's a reason for the oath of office clause, as we call it, and that is that we weren't going to have a religious test to be a to serve as president, to serve as a congressman or senator or a judge. And that makes sense.
You need some more water.
Yeah. But the Constitution also has the free exercise clause. And that gives us the right to practice our religion. And it also has the free speech clause. And the Supreme Court that has also said that, as I said earlier, this religious speech and worship are protected under the Constitution. So when Jefferson wrote that letter, he actually wrote it to Baptists, Danbury Baptists. And the letter was the concern at that particular time near our nation's founding. And this was what was really the impetus for this, was this idea of a national church. Well, the whole Church of England concept did not go over very well in the United States because we already started having states that were Catholic, states that were others, and it became a creating this environment of national churches with state sponsorship, and that's not a good idea. Where church-state separation kind of turned upside down, in my view, is in when you had a rewriting, not of the school prayer cases in 1963, because if you look back on those now, you say, you know what, why is the state writing a prayer? I mean, you know, the Board of Regents prayer, why are they writing it? And you could argue it pro or con. But I'll tell you where I think that, and I go back to the example that the cadet used, and that is the fellowship groups that you have on campus. I just don't see how that rises to a level of the establishment of religion. Unless there's coercion, and the lawsuit that should be brought, if there's a lawsuit to be brought, would be one where the faculty member says, you do this, you do this, you better believe like I do, or if you don't, it's going to ruin cohesiveness in the unit. Well, that's a lawsuit that's going to be hard to defend. I would be happy to defend the faculty group or the student group that was having, you know, Bible studies and prayer meetings, just as I would be happy to defend the Jewish student that wore the yarmulke. I think there has to be room under the Constitution for that.
They're being told not to use Jesus' name when they're giving a prayer at an event. It could even be funeral services or as the soldiers are about to go out in battle. There are a variety of different chaplains within the context of the military. So the idea is that you have these different chaplains so that people are covered, people are protected. But this is the fight. This is the battle. Should our military chaplains have the right to pray according to the dictates of their conscience? And should President Bush sign an executive order on this? And by the way, folks, we are doing all of that legal research on the executive orders literally as we speak. This is an urgent matter for us. We want to hear from you. 877-989-2255. And we really want you to help us to make sure these chaplains can pray according to the dictates of their conscience, according to the dictates of their faith commitment, without a censorship. So again, 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org for updated information.
Suppose I was a commander and I was a strong right-wing Christian and I announced that.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said. A strong?
Suppose I was an airman in a squadron with a strong right-wing Christian as a commander. Suppose I enjoyed smoking and drinking and other things that ran against his values. What would you say to that airman when he has angst over going to visit his commander over a problem?
I don't understand how the smoking and drinking has anything to do with the...
Well, if you have values that are counter to your commander's values based on
the
religious
beliefs
that
he announces.
Well,
then I'm sure you have a code of conduct. I mean, that's not only at military academies, that's at universities, there's a code of conduct. If someone violates the code of conduct, they can be disciplined, I would think. So, I'm sorry?
In your daily life, and you're not out of discipline.
You know, are you getting to where people don't practice what they preach? I mean, look, we had the Constitution, we had a Declaration of Independence that said all men were created equal, except we had slaves in the United States.
My point is, if I enjoy smoking and I enjoy drinking, I wouldn't want to go approach a commander who I knew was strongly against those kind of values.
Well, hold on. If you enjoyed smoking and you enjoyed drinking, but that wasn't a violation of your code of conduct, what difference would it make? Because you don't, you live in a free, you're defending a free country. And part of that freedom that you're defending is that, look, I mean, we do have rules and regulations, and if you disagree with a particular commander's view, let's say I'm secular, but I think that, you know, the policy of the academy was such, and you were violating those policies, you would be held accountable. Period. That's the rules and that was the gig you signed up for.
Mr. Weinstein, comment?
Yeah, what we don't usually get, the smoking and drinking stuff. What we usually get are commanders that are indicating that, with a million crucifixes in their offices, with prayer books. And we've had issues at the academy with cadets coming in for EI, coming into an instructor's office filled with prayer cards, where the instructor asks the cadet to please take a prayer card first. You know, it's the things that we've got. You know, Jay, maybe
but
now
those,
that we've
but those
met,
are easy, Mike.
Yeah, you know, I'll expect an amicus brief when we file. then you know it'll be all kumbaya. But you know, and I think that we actually found this is amazing that we actually have some areas of agreement. But what we also get a lot of is commanders indicating, and not just you know squadron and group commanders, indicating that they prefer a Christian lifestyle, that they use their position to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ because their first responsibility is to the Lord Jesus, and then is to their family, and then to the Constitution. We had a commandant here who just did that. We also had that same commandant, General Wida, who asked my daughter-in-law when she was a firstie and one of the two honor chairmen of second group, if she would go out and harvest cadets to bring them to the Passion Play, Ted Haggard's Easter time situation. And she went to New Life for 4 years. How do you think that made her feel? You know, a one-star general, we have a few in here today, at least one, to a first classman, and that's a firstie. What do you do when the general smiles at you and says, hey, let's go get some non-Christians, let's get them in, let's bring them in?
You say, I'm not comfortable with that. You say that the rules and regulations of the academy are such that you can't compel me to do that. But what you don't get to do, I don't think, is tell the instructors at this school, again, not going into particulars, because I don't know the particulars, I can't address that. But what you can't do is pass a blanket rule that says to instructors, look, you check your faith to the door of the academy, and you don't go inside the military enclave. You've got to be, you know, completely secular, and you don't get to say who you are. If someone asks, another instructor asks another instructor, if you have a faculty Bible studies here, I just don't see how that violates the Constitution.
No, Jay, I'm not against that at all.
Okay, good. Well, there's another...
I'm saying is when it involves, this draconian specter of command influence, you know, when you've got something like that happening,
yeah.
From a first classman to a two degree, obviously, as I said before, there's a million times you can do this. The things we're focusing on now is that we're trying to do triage. We've got people that mostly, like the vast majority, are Protestants, and then to a lesser extent, Roman Catholic. Maybe we should move on to another question. There's a lot of people.
The irony of all of this is, in these military situations, you want prayer to be there, and you want these chaplains to pray according to their faith commitment, to the dictates of their conscience. That's why you have a variety of different denominations represented in the chaplaincy corps. But that's not what's going on right now. But we've got a chance to change this, but it's going to take your voice to be heard. We've got to get an executive order from President Bush, 877-989-2255. Let me urge you to call this number, add your name to our petition urging President Bush to support our military chaplains with an executive order, 877-989-2255. If they want to pray in Jesus' name, they certainly should have the right to do that. Also, information at aclj.org.
We are going to change the world. This is God's plan. This is God's plan for this university.
Pat Robertson, founder and chancellor of Regent University, speaking on the founding days of Regent nearly 30 years ago. Regent truly provides a complete education experience. The undergraduate program is online and on campus, an exceptional educational experience in a Christ-centered environment.
People say, well, you're competing against Yale and Harvard. No way. I want to set a higher standard than that. I want this to be an absolute center of Christian thought and culture for the whole world.
At Regent University, we believe in leadership to change the world. Regent's undergrad program offers a first-rate faculty and cutting-edge curriculum. Learn more online at regentundergrad.com. For more information or to apply, you can also call toll-free at 1-800-374-4504. That's 1-800-374-4504. When you choose Regent, you're choosing to change your life. Enroll today.
Now more than ever, our men and women who serve in the military deserve our gratitude, our respect, and our prayers. And those who serve in the military should be able to turn to their chaplains for prayer. But there's a problem. The freedom of military chaplains to pray according to their faith is now threatened. It's a troubling development, one that must be met head-on. That's why the American Center for Law and Justice is backing an effort spearheaded by North Carolina Congressman Walter Jones to urge President Bush to direct Defense Secretary Gates to issue new regulations to protect the constitutional right of military chaplains to pray according to their faith. That means ensuring chaplains can pray in the name of Jesus. Stand with the ACLJ and sign on today to the petition to protect military prayer. Send an important message to President Bush. Sign the petition now.
call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. The petition to protect military prayer. You can also add your name online at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast. This week we've been playing for you an important debate between my dad and Michael Weinstein. It was at the U.S. Air Force Academy just a couple months ago. We talked a lot about this debate over the past few months, and we've had Michael Weinstein on the program to discuss his organization, Military Religious Freedom Foundation, which takes an opposing view to the American Center for Law and Justice on these issues. It's an important debate. We've broken it down for you, so if you've missed a day, just go to aclj.org. You can check out the debate online. Let's go back and start listening to the debate again.
Yes, third class Robach. I'd like to address the issue of toleration, and I'd like to express my, I'm very sorry that there were very harmful jokes made about the Jewish faith or the Muslim faith or any faith. I do believe that we may have a tasteless joke problem at the Academy, but I don't really believe that that's a religious issue. At the same time, I feel that the comments you make towards the quote-unquote evangelical right or the long 10-second jargon you made up to create this new form of, I guess, warrior Christianity. I don't know what exactly you're trying to get at, but that is very offensive to many evangelical Christians, and it's just as offensive as the joke, and it's a lot more pointed and more at that person than the joke is, because the joke is more to make people laugh, and it's tasteless and it's wrong. But that is also that.
Okay,
as far as my question goes,
do you have a question?
Toleration, toleration, religious intolerance at the Academy, intolerance. So therefore, not being tolerant. It seems like
again, please,
this thing has created a place where we can't talk about our views. It's actually closed off talking in among. There is an idea that
you
can't
talk for a second.
Stop. This isn't the Jay and I are the invited guests here. You know. So is there a question you'd like to pose to me?
Please pose it.
Okay. The students at the Academy don't feel like... how do you feel about that? How do you define tolerance? That's what I'm trying to say.
You know something? I don't want that. You just view me as Aretha Franklin, baby. I want R-E-S-P-E-C-T. I don't want tolerance. I want respect. Thank you.
Well, look, I'm all in favor of respect, but you know, part of respect is tolerance. We can respect each other's differences. We don't get to make tasteless jokes, by the way, about any group, and that's not acceptable anywhere. But we don't have respect without tolerance. I don't see how you have a free country that has respect without tolerance. I think they go hand in hand.
I'd just like to say one thing. What will bring our beautiful country down and destroy us and turn us to ashes is tolerance. Tolerance or intolerance.
This is a big issue. There is a lot at stake here. Our military chaplains are commissioned by the Baptist or a Catholic priest or whatever they might be. Could be Pentecostal. All the variety of religious groups you can think of. But right now they're being told to basically give a sanitized prayer, a prayer that does not mention the specific reference to a specific deity. And whenever they say that, folks, you know what that means. Don't pray in Jesus' name. Now, we saw some good results with this rollback right before the legislative break, Jordan. That was the compromise. But now it is going to need an executive order. Going through Congress is going to be too difficult. 877, I need you to call this number right now. 877-989-2255. This is to add your name to a petition supporting an executive order from President Bush protecting our chaplain's right to pray. It's that simple. It's that straightforward. 877-989-2255 for our chaplains to have the right to pray. Also, you can sign up online. There's great resources available at aclj.org.
Is there a question on this side, please?
Hello, sir. CNC McIntyre, Cadet Squadron 27. Sir, you've addressed the out-and-out cases in which discrimination or coercion is obvious. My question is regards to where do you draw the line in terms of nonverbal or non-expressed coercion? Is a commander wearing a yarmulke on duty, you obviously believe it's not coercive, but to a subordinate, at what point is a person's nonverbal action, at which point is their expression or office decoration or otherwise behavior considered coercive. The relationship of military subordinate superior has been designed to be coercive, and as such, it may require a special case here. I was curious as...
No, I think it's a really good question. And again, I didn't have the privilege of attending your academy, nor did I serve in the military. But I will say this, that I think when you look at coercion, which is another one, I think Mikey and I would probably agree on this, is easy to say, hard to define, because there is indirect coercion, no doubt about it. But I think that the students, the cadets at this incredibly great institution are mature enough to understand that the academy doesn't endorse everything it fails to censor. That one, a thing that I think is very good about this dialogue, this debate, but this dialogue, is we're all kind of getting to air our concerns, and we can have an open dialogue. And I think if you walked into a faculty member's office, let's say that's Roman Catholic, and they, you know, feel as part of their faith, they keep a crucifix on their desk. I don't think if you're a Jewish student or if you're a student that has no faith at all, that you should be offended by it unless he's beating you over the head with that crucifix. And that's where the tolerance comes in. So, I mean, I've had faculty, and you've had work environments where someone has a faith that you didn't agree with. My wife was a teacher in an inner-city school when we first got married, and her principal was Jehovah's Witness. And he was proselytizing, as the phrase is used. And she said, look, I didn't agree with anything he said theologically, but he said it. I didn't feel like I had to be there. I didn't attend his studies. And I'm mature enough to understand a school doesn't endorse everything it fails to censor.
Mr. Weinstein?
What I was going to say was that trying to describe what it feels like to be a subordinate in the U.S. military or a cadet at West Point Annapolis, the Air Force Academy, to someone who hasn't gone through it, again, non-pejoratively, non-pedantically at all, my brother Jay, is like trying to describe how beautiful the Grand Canyon looks on a summer sunset night to Stevie Wonder. You know, you feel the corrosion in different ways. You know you all do, those of you who have served and those of you who are veterans. It rarely are you going to have, although we have a lot of it, a commander getting in your face and telling you that you better accept this gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you don't do it, and you know, not only that, you better accept it and get the next person next to you, living cheek by jowl with. It's something that is very hard to define. But as I said before, it's necessary. And obviously we're going to disagree on this, Jay. I believe that the Establishment Clause must trump the Free Exercise Clause when you're in the military. We have many things you can't do in the military. Like I said, something is what appears to be as trivial as pushing Tupperware, Mary Kay Cosmetics, and Amway. We lost one of my classmates who almost became Air Force Secretary, Daryl Jones, because of an issue with that. And this is not high school, it's not a civilian college. One has to be very careful when you're dealing with going to war.
I would say this, though, and I would use the Stevie Wonder example this way. You know, Stevie Wonder's been blind since birth, but I suspect with his gifts that he's been given and the music that he writes, that he probably could have a vision of the Grand Canyon without actually seeing it. And why is that? Because people talk, and people describe it. And he's got the cognitive capability to understand it and comprehend it, and though he can't see it with his eyes, he could probably see it with his mind.
And I want you to run the assault course.
I think that's part of how you engage a dialogue.
Make sure these chaplains are protected legally. It is critical that you go to your phones and join our petition to get this executive order in place from the president. 877-989-2255 or aclj.org. It's going to take an executive order to do it. We need your help on this. I'm urgently calling for your participation, and we really want you to help us to make sure these chaplains can pray according to the dictates of their conscience, according to the dictates of their faith commitment, without censorship. So again, 877-989-2255 or aclj.org for updated information.
You've been listening to an important debate between my dad and Michael Weinstein at the U.S. Air Force Academy. We've broken it up into segments for you, and it's an important debate. This is about the role of religion in our military schools. Folks, tomorrow on the broadcast, you'll hear more from the debate between my dad and Michael Weinstein at the U.S. Air Force Academy. We thank you for listening today.